Live, brought to you from the Eternal Word Television Studios in Birmingham, Alabama.
Of Jesus.
The most glorious work of all, to praise God in His kingdom.
Moved by the Spirit.
One who lives in love lives in God.
And God lives in Him.
What a wonderful thing is our church.
This whole network is built on trust.
The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you.
We are all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, welcome. We have a wonderful EWTN family here tonight. Our intentions for the month of August for teenagers, how's that, huh? All the teenagers in the whole world. And maybe you have some you're worried about. Well, we're going to pray for all of them, okay? So don't remember now, every morning, every evening before you go to bed, pray to our dear Lord for teenagers. If we have millions of prayers going up for teenagers, the whole world could change, you know? The whole world could change. Now, I promised the audience I would tell them something. Anybody remember what it was?
Huh?
Elephants.
Elephants. I thought you wouldn't remember. Well, you say you're kidding, you're not going to talk about elephants, but I promised this sweet little boy over there who wants a pet elephant. Is that right? You do? You may not when I get through. But anyway, this is one of those little things we just come across when we come down here. So a friend of mine whose hobby was collecting zoo animals. And he had the money and he had the place. So he collected these zoo animals. He had 6 elephants. So he called me one night and he says, I promised my 6 elephants to the, it's a circus. I think it was the Mason Circus. I forget what they called it.
Shrine.
Huh? Shrine. Thank you very much. I put very intelligent people in the audience so they can give me my words. Anyway, it was a Shriner circus. And I said, sure. I said, I got a nice place for 6 elephants. He said, well, you got to put a receptacle on the trees. I said, on the trees? Why? Well, we got to feed them every 2 hours, day and night. True, you don't want an elephant, sweetheart. Well, I said, okay, we'll put these on receptacles on the trees. So I called an electrician and I said to him, I need some receptacles on those trees. Hey, what'd you say, mother? I said, I need receptacles, electrical receptacles on these trees. He said, you know, I never do understand what you do. I think it was a compliment, but I'm not sure. And so he said, why you want receptacles on a tree? I said, for my elephants. Elephants? I said, yeah, 6 of them. And one is the biggest elephant in the world. Oh, for your elephants? I said, yes. I said, I'm keeping them for a week for a friend of mine. Oh, that did it, you know? I mean, that really did it. Fine, fine. He looked like he wanted to get away from me as fast as possible, though, because he couldn't get it, you know? So he put the receptacles. Well, the day it was supposed, they were supposed to arrive, they didn't come. So I thought, oh, here, he changed his mind, and I got all the receptacles on these trees. So one night, it's pouring rain, pouring rain. And I hear this, I said, oh God, the elephants. So I looked out the window, and this huge, huge 18-wheeler, I mean, they were big, coming down very slow. I ran through the monastery, that's this monastery. The elephants are here! It's a nice rainy night, everybody's in bed, comfortable. They shot out of bed. They dressed, I never saw nuns dress in such a hurry in my life. So they all, you know, right to attention. What do we do now? I said, I don't have the slightest idea, but I'm not gone on that rain for any elephant. Well, we did, you know, it's just these huge trucks driving up. And I went down, I said, you got elephants? He said, yes. I said, well, kind of raining. Yeah, he said, I'd say that. I said, well, what do you do with them now? He said, oh, we just keep them in the trucks. He said, yeah, well, they'll be okay. I said, okay. First thing in the morning, two of my sisters, who are the neatest sisters in the house, you know, there's everything in place, a place for everything. You got somebody like that in your family? I'm not one of those, but anyway. These two went out to see the elephants. And these big doors were wide open, and half doors, you know, and they were wide open. The elephant puts out his head, and he sneezes on both of them. Ka-choo! Boy, it went everywhere. Well, it was about 3 minutes for poor man. And when they walked in the chapel, everybody went, and they came in very sheepishly, and they began to sing, and everybody started getting a little bit further this way and a little bit further that way. So the next morning, they took them out of these big trucks, and there they were. And there was a little baby elephant, and somebody mistreated it, and the poor thing couldn't lift up its trunk. They beat it and did something to the trunk, and he couldn't lift it up to eat. So the trainer would lift his little trunk up, and he would eat, and then he'd lay it down again. It was pitiful. But we had these there a whole week. Well, we had a pair of twins in the house next to our land, and the kids were outside playing, and they ran in and said, Mama, there's elephants out there. They said, oh, shut up. Now there's no elephants out there. Now, go out and play. So they came in, Mama, there's elephants out there. Now, will you shut up? Don't start lying. Now there are no elephants out. Yes, there is. No, there's not. You better come and see. She walked out of these six elephants. She was about to die. So I said to the sisters, if anybody comes to the door and they say, do you know you got elephants out there? You look at them serious and say, really? Where? We had a lot of fun that day because nobody believed we had elephants. You still want one? I think we just changed his mind. But they didn't cause any trouble. We I know one thing, we had enough fertilizer for 2 years. Really. Now we get something serious, okay? I read an article. Well, I didn't read an article. It's a book by St. Catherine of Genoa. St. Catherine of Genoa was a very great saint and had a great friendship, I guess you'd call it, with the poor souls in purgatory. But she could not believe, she had a hard time believing that everyone is condemned to hell, like forever. And she had an argument with God. And this is, I just thought that little simple thing, it's not long. So if you don't like it from the beginning, hang in there. It'll end. But I thought it was interesting because a lot of people ask us, even on the show, is there a hell? Yeah, there is. Is it forever? Yes, there is. Is not God merciful? Yes. Then why people go to hell? Because they want to. And I thought this was interesting. St. Catherine of Genoa, in the course of one of her visions, now this is a vision, argued with God about hell. She's absolutely certain that the sinner would be better off if entrusted to her love. Talk about innocence. So what she's saying here, that if God would entrust all those in hell to her love, Catherine of Genoa's love, they'd be better off. So God gives her carte blanche, and Catherine hastens to seize a thoroughly hardened sinner, whom she pushes, drives, shoves, willy-nilly into the very center of paradise. Into the very heart of God, into the very splendor of his light. Whereupon the soul thus commandeered into paradise so violently is angry and protests. And he says, why, O God, did you deliver me over to this sentimental and foolish woman? He wasn't at all happy that he was pushed and shoved willy-nilly into heaven. He said, didst thou deliver me over to this foolish woman? What is my crime that now I must suffer a punishment which is spared even the devil? Doesn't say much for women, does it? No suffering in hell could match the torture of being drowned in love. Oh, boy. When everything within me is hate. In purity, when everything within me is corrupt. And Catherine, undismayed, and thinking no doubt that with a little practice, she will learn to handle souls like this. So she takes the sinner and places him outside of heaven, but also outside of hell. A rending cry rises to God, and this sinner says to God, and now I am nowhere. Now I am truly lost. I beg that I may be allowed to re-enter hell, where through divine justice, see, those in hell glorify the justice of God, I still may form a part of order. We don't think of that, do we? Thy justice, O God, which is a presence, lightens a little the terrible verdict of condemnation. Thy presence, thy punishment, bring a little order into chaos, into negative and eternal absurdity. So, Catherine Genoa, if you ever find a book on her, you ought to read it. It's very interesting. She doesn't always talk about hell. She's one of these saints that was always pulling people out of purgatory. But it's interesting to know, those of you who have written and called, you know, why would a person want to go to hell? You see, to be in heaven would be even worse punishment for them, even worse pain. Worse pain. And that's what we don't understand sometimes. And so you can believe now, huh, that even hell glorifies the justice of God, because that's where they want to be. So if you had any questions, I think that should answer them in a way nothing I could say would answer. I want to take the first beatitude, because the first beatitude says something very wonderful, but you got to think about it. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that awesome? The whole kingdom of heaven is for those who are poor in spirit. Now, what does that mean? Now, he didn't say poor in furniture, poor in houses, poor in land, poor in money, poor in your mental faculties. No, he didn't say anything like that. He didn't say anything about material poverty. He's talking about poverty of spirit. Well, what does that mean? Okay. We are made to the image and likeness of God. Isn't that awesome, huh? Well, God gave us, each one of us, something of himself. A soul, a spirit. And that spirit does, in a very finite way, what he does. You have a memory, right? You all remember things, huh? If this is your second trip here, you were happy the first time you came. And so your memory said, hey, that's a good place. Why don't you go again? And you say, okay, your imagination, what's it do? Well, it begins to picture where you were. And then somebody told you about the temple. Oh, I want to see that. See? So your imagination formed a picture, like a little television set up here. It forms a picture of where you want to go. And that was made, given to you, created by God to represent the Eternal Father. Why? Because he creates, see? There wouldn't be a picture in the world. There wouldn't be a building like this. There wouldn't be a camera. There wouldn't be anything if somebody first didn't imagine what it could be, what it could do, see? And then the first thing you know, their memory comes along and says, yeah, I saw this, in a book somewhere, but they say it couldn't be done. I'm going to try. So all of that is like the Father. He created everything. It holds it in existence. So you and I were given a little smidgen of the Eternal Father. Now, Jesus is always eternally begotten by the Father. So Jesus, who he sees, Jesus sees the Father. Now your intellect comes along and says, now let's see, how am I going to do this? And then you figure out how you're going to do it. That's what inventors do. That's what scientists do. And they work hard. So now you got to get everything together. So if you came here a second time, you thought it was a good place, now you got to get a group. You got to get a bus. You got to be sure everybody's happy. They all stop at the right place, right time. And you got to keep them busy so they don't get grouchy. You got to stop every so often. You got to have a place to eat. And be sure it's a nice place. They're already tired. They don't need some little old greasy place that's not going to feed them anything. So your intellect comes and I better be smart. So now you got a group, right? Now the will comes along. See, the Father created. He got the whole thing in his mind forever and ever and ever before time began. He had everything in mind, including you and I. now he decided to create. And who was it? The Spirit. The Spirit that hovered over the darkness. And the Father said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. Ah. So you see, you made to the image of God. So you remember, you imagine, you got an intellect that brought you, that said, this is a good place. But until you got on that bus, nothing happens. And that's what's true to most of us. We got great ideas. Nothing ever happens. I mean, we never do what we're thinking about. We can say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Do you really know anybody like that? Yeah? 5 years later, they haven't even started. Now, maybe they can't. That's possible. Things change. That's possible. But see, until the will acts, you just had made a good meditation. That's all you did. I'm going to conquer the world. Well, you're not going to do it in that armchair. You're not going to do it in that armchair. You've got to move. Well, you see, we're all made in that. And we all have these gifts from God. The fruit he bears. We don't bear fruit. We put our foot out, we take a step, and he's right there. So now, you got to do something with these faculties that is holy. Because when you die, as I did not too long ago, you're all alone with God. All alone. And all you got is the image of these three faculties. The three talents were all given. What did you do with yours? There's nobody there. Nobody to blame. Nobody to give you excuses. Nobody to defend you. You're right there with God alone. I'll never forget. Comes to my mind every day. Every day. And so I just wanted to share with you what it means to answer to God for these three talents. You say, well, I got a lot in my memory. Well, maybe a lot of it should be forgiven and forgotten. Some people live in their memory. Oh, Lord. They get up in the morning with it. Something happened 20 years ago. They hate the person. They hate them more every day. And they live in that. That's not what God gave it to you for. And Jesus gave us the key. The key. He said, be compassionate and merciful. Oh. As your Father is compassionate and merciful. He gave us the key. That means you got to forgive all these people that hurt you 20 years ago. It's not going to be there when you die. Not going to be there. You got to get rid of these terrible. That's why today people have, thrown their memory and imagination to the wind. You cannot watch a dirty movie. You can't watch a filthy pornography book and go to bed with a clear, peaceful, wonderful memory. You're full of garbage. Garbage. And the worst kind of garbage. You know, you could go in a garbage dump and sit there. Or go smell an elephant farm, that might be better. Well, that's what you do to your imagination and your memory. When lust and sex and alcohol and drugs are the only thing you think about. You can't present that to the Father. That isn't why he gave you that faculty, and it's not what he expects you to do with it. You got to have it beautiful. It has to be filled with compassion. for your enemies, for those who've done you in, or you think they have, for all the people that have so much that you think belong really to you, for all the jealousy, the anger, you got to get rid of that. It doesn't do you any good. You're miserable when you get up and you're miserable when you go to bed. Why you want to fill that beautiful faculty made to the image of the Father with rot? Say, well, it's true. Don't tell me it isn't true. Our Lord didn't say, forgive your enemies. He said enemies. He said people trying to do you in. Now, how about how about your intellect? Is it full of pride? You say, well, I am the best. Want to prove it? What do you know that everybody else doesn't know? And no matter how smart you are, I read a girl had an IQ of 250 or something. I wouldn't want to be that smart. I don't think you'd have any peace. You know too much. I mean, she could read a whole book and tell you about it, any part of it. Ooh. And I am not against bright people, but I'm saying, I don't know if it's making her holier. Maybe it is. But that intellect, see, is made to the image of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Oh. You know, some of the saints were so great in humility. I like Brother Juniper. If you've ever read the life of St. Francis, you have come across Brother Juniper. He was considered an idiot, but he was holy, and who cares about what people thought he was? But one time he heard that this very famous woman was going to come to see him, and he could hear the carriage coming, see? And he said, oh. So he saw two kids on a seesaw, up and down, you know? So he took one kid, put him on with the other kid, and he went on the other side, and they're going up and down. So here comes this woman, all decked out, and she's off of her carriage. And she said, brother, do you know Brother Juniper? And he kept going, yeah, I do. Well, where is he? Right here. She said, your Brother Juniper? He said, yes. She was insulted. She said, you're an idiot. Yes. You keep going back and forth, you know. Now, you say I could never do that. Well, I'm not too sure I could either. First of all, I can't find a seesaw. Please don't send me one. I'm not anxious for what? But you say, well, you mean you got to do that to be humble? No, 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 no. You don't have to do that to be humble. But I'm telling you about his heart. See, he didn't want that woman coming after him. Now, she would ask him something about Jesus, she would have heard something wonderful. But he didn't want that. And you say, well, how can I be humble? Oh, real easy. If we can accept all the things that people have said about us, against us, or to us, and say, forgive them, Lord, you know, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. Well, I think you'd be humble. Really humble. If you or I can accept the tragedies in our life, the injustices, whatever, it happens to all of us every day, and say, well, Lord, I don't understand why this happened, but I accept it from your loving hands. That's humility, see? Because we're admitting to God, I don't know, but I'll accept it out of your hands, see? A lot of people do that. So if I do that, then I'm going to present my intellect to God when I die again. I'm going to represent, I'm going to give him, present him with at least an intellect and a memory that's not corrupt with hatred, with jealousy, with all the things that eat you up inside. See, that's why our dear Lord said heart. See, heart. He didn't say, be humble of mind. Humble of heart. That I don't feel these. And if I do feel them, I give them to Jesus. And when you read this gospel, no matter where you read it, the Father and I are one. If you keep my commandments, the Father and I will come and dwell with you. Why? Well, because light and darkness, St. Paul said, have nothing in common. You can't have a dark room and at the same time have a light room. You're going to have one or the other. And so it is with your soul. Now, I'm not talking about weaknesses and imperfections. We got to fight with those all day long. Sometimes you get out of bed and you feel angry, but nothing happened to you yet. You're already mad. Why are you mad? I don't know. I feel out of sorts. Well, what's that mean? You just say good night's sleep? Yes. Are you hungry? No. I need a cup of coffee. Oh, coffee. The black liquid. With sugar or without? With cream or without, is the thing that makes you feel better. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if God made you feel better instead of this liquid that you call coffee? Strong as it can be. What are you, against coffee? Hey, no, I am not against coffee. To all you coffee manufacturers, don't write me letters. I'm giving you an example that I think in the morning when you wake up, you ought to think of Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit a lot faster than you think of that coffee. Then drink your coffee. See? We put the wrong things first. Now, if I don't have these two faculties in order, do you think my will is going to work? Mm-mm. Too much effort. That's why you didn't want to get out of bed in the first place. The last 5 minutes of your early morning is the best, you think. But you forget you slept all night. You look at the clock. I can't believe it, Ray. You try to find it, you can't. I would put your alarm near the door. They got these nice big ones now. Did you ever see the new alarms? Yeah, they're about that big. And they got two big bells on them. You know, pop, 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 pop. Well, if you got to get out of bed and put your shoes there, and you hit that cold floor, you'll wake up. You'll wake up. But wouldn't it be better if we said, well, good morning, Lord. I feel terrible. Help me be good today. Doesn't that sound better? Huh? That's a lot better than getting all mad because the alarm went off. That alarm just went off the way you said it. It doesn't have a brain that says, let me make this man as miserable as possible. I mean, alarms don't think. Did you get mad at you? I know a man who told me he threw his alarm out the window. I said, was it open? He said, no. Oh. Did it go through? Yes. Where did it land? On my car. I said, God had perfect aim. Now, isn't that stupid, early in the morning, to get so mad at your alarm that you throw it out the window and make a big dent in your car roof? Did that make sense to you? I hope nobody here did that. That little kid, he's laughing over there. But you see how ridiculous we get. Now we're talking about memory. This man came, he told me, I'm going to divorce that woman, but I got up at the last thing. Wait a minute now, don't do that. You know what she did to me today? I said, it's only 10 o'clock. What could she do to you today? She put her fist through the newspaper. Oh, really? What were you doing? Reading it. Oh, you didn't happen to be at breakfast. Yeah, how'd you know? I don't know. What'd you have for breakfast? I don't know, bacon and eggs. Oh, you mean your wife made you bacon and eggs, nice hot cup of coffee, and you're sitting at a table, and she's across from you, and you're reading a paper? Yes. I said, I would have hit you on the head with the frying pan. I mean, you got it good just to have the fist through your paper. Did she make it? What do you mean, make it? I said, she really sock you? No. I put down the paper. I said, I bet you did. See, we do a stupid thing. Why? Because it's selfish. See, we get selfish. And a strange thing about this is that our poor mind and heart are full of these things all day long. If we thought of God one-tenth of the time that we think of ourselves, we'd be saints very quickly. Very quickly. So, well, I'm not a monk or a nun. That's obvious. We wouldn't have people in the world if everybody was a monk or a nun. That's not the point. The point is, we want to clean a house. We want a clean house. See, our Lord is constantly talking about doing the will of the Father. And when the Pharisees questioned him and didn't like what he said, he looked at them and he said, you're just like your father, who was a liar from the beginning. You hear that before? If I said that, they'd take me off the air. They may want to, but they haven't. See, they would really get after me if I said that. But it's in the scriptures. And who was their father? This Satan. Because he lied from the beginning. Well, that's not a compliment when it comes from the Lord. So, you see, pride and all the things we're full of all day long. You say, well, what do I do? You all know you need to go to Mass on Sundays. You all know you need to pray. Our Lady has asked for the rosary every day from everybody, but we don't do it. And my will, what did Jesus say? He came to do the will of his Father. And you know, when Pilate said to him, he wasn't answering Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you know that I have power to release you or power to crucify you? And the Lord would not allow that to be said. He said, no, you have no power over me. Now listen to this. Unless it is given to you from above. See, Jesus saw the Father's will, even in Pilate, who did a weak, unjust thing. Terrible. So ask Our Lady, the next rosary you say. Say, sweet mother, clean my house. Make me compassionate and merciful. Make me humble of heart. You know, the thing that amazed me in that events that happened to me was that suddenly there was nothing there. Nothing. When I die, the Lord's not going to look at me and say, Angelic, you did a great job. He's not going to pick out all the things we've built. Nothing. He did them all. We're servants. We're stewards, that's all. The only thing that's going to be there is the love in my heart for him. Boy, it boils down real fast. I saw an accident not too long ago. There were two red cars, sports car, I guess that's what you call them. And they're all plastic now. That, you know, used to be metal or iron or something. You felt like you're driving something, but now you're driving a big piece of paper. Crunched up. Looks nice because it's painted. But bend the fender. Well, this was terrible. I didn't see the people in it because they were gone. But those two cars were mangled. And they were brand new. And you wonder sometimes. I have no objection to people buying cars. If you can afford them, buy them. But with their heart in the car, sometimes material things mean more to us than they should. So I better go to phone calls. I'm supposed to have them here. Hello?
Hi, Mother.
Well, good. I'm glad there's somebody out there. What's your name?
My name's Becky. I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh, good. What's your question, honey?
I've been away from the church. I was away from the church for over 20 years. And through the grace of God, have come back now.
Thank you, Jesus. Welcome home.
Thank you, dear. And you've been a big part of that conversion.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for you. But I'm wondering, what is the best way that I can work off my time in purgatory?
Oh, wow. We're all trying. But you know, I don't think it's hard to skip purgatory. It's not like skipping your third grade, you know? You got to be smart to skip a class or skip a grade. To get out of purgatory or to get away from purgatory or go straight to heaven, it's very simple. You say, yeah, I bet. Wait till she comes out with the last sentence. No, it's very simple. We have only to do the will of God in the present moment. That's it. Now, you can't sin, of course, but the will of God in the present moment excludes sin. Excludes it. It has nothing to do. I mean, we can't go to heaven like that, but we're doing the will of God. That's the key. You know, some people regret they didn't do this, they didn't do that. It's finished, it's over, and like our Lord said to Angela Foligno, the past is dead. It does not exist. And the future, unborn. But you and I, if you're a housewife, if your duty is to cook supper, then cook supper for Jesus, for your husband, for your family. If your mother is sick and you have to take care of her, do it with love. See, we don't feel. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about the will. I want to be like Jesus, and I'm going to try to be like Jesus. I may not always make it, but I want to work at it. You see? Then we're like Jesus, and then we're developing in our hearts the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that was placed there by God when you were baptized. See? I don't think it's hard because I'll never forget. I mentioned this woman a lot because to me she was the most magnificent example. I don't think she went to purgatory. I don't have any proof, but with a Mrs. Michaels. She had bone cancer. And they had her on sheepskin because if she turned around, a bone would break. Her husband left her when he found out she had bone cancer. She had a daughter, And somehow she took care of her daughter with all that cancer. But there she was in bed, had a very thin piece of material on her because she couldn't stand anything else. And I went in to see her. I said, Mrs. Michaels, how are you? I'm fine, she said, thank God. She said, I had to sign my daughter over to my sister because I'm dying and I want her to have a home. Now, this person lost her husband because he was so selfish. She lost her daughter because she couldn't take care of her. She was an unbelievable pain. But she had, in her emaciated face, the most beautiful smile I ever saw. She was crucified, everything taken away from her, in unbelievable pain. And all she could say to me when I left was, praise God. Oh, that woman, I think, went to heaven. And that's what we need to try and do. Maybe you want to get married, you haven't found anyone. Maybe you should thank God. Maybe he needs to thank God, you know? It just came out, I mean. Somebody needs to thank God. But see, sometimes the things we want or the things we think we want or the things we think we need are not good for us. I love Padre Pio, and I read everything on him I can get my hands on. This is my third or fourth book. This woman had great love for Padre. This is when he was living. And I think I told you this, but she was up on the top of a mountain, and there's a lot of them in Italy. And she was at the top of this mountain, and she was walking backwards, you know, to see the sky, and it was beautiful. And all of a sudden, she smells roses. And that was a sign he was there. Padre Pio was there. This is while he's living. And she thought he was next to her, and she turns around, and she's about a foot away from a precipice. Wow. She thanked God. Well, about a few months later, she goes to see Padre Pio to thank him. And before she said a word, you know what he said to her? He said, don't act like a child next time and walk backwards. That would have scared. She didn't say a word. She didn't say a word about thank you. Eddie. She was so shocked she couldn't speak. Now you say, well, God gave him a gift. But he always said yes to God. And we don't love God for his gifts, you know. So I would say, with a long explanation, I hope I got your answer somewhere in there. But just do the will of God and pray, 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 pray as much as you can, when you can. Go to Mass, receive the sacraments. I'll make a bet. If you did all that, you're going right to heaven. We have, let's see, about 5 minutes. What do we got? Okay, what's past issues? What about them? I don't know. What are you saying? Anyway, do we have another call? Well, you're asking if she has old sins, what does she do? Well, you go to confession. Yeah, you got to go to confession. You know, if we would have any regrets, but there are no regrets in heaven. But if we had one, we would have wished we went to confession more often. We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother and Delica.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Birmingham, right here next door.
Well, good. What's your question?
Well, it's kind of like a threefold question. I don't know if you'll have time to answer it, Mother.
Yeah.
It's about being in the image of God, the will of God, mm-hmm. and forgiveness. Yes. My husband and I have been married 17 years, and we're getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I don't want the divorce, but he does. And we've both done some horrible things in our marriage, both of us. And I have repented and asked Jesus to forgive me. And for everything that he's done to me, I have forgiven him. And he can't seem to do that. He's kind of like a hardness of the heart. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about it, and I've read in Bible scriptures over it, and it just doesn't seem to help any.
Well, sweetheart, you can't always change things. We have to endure many times, see? I don't know your situation, so it's not a hard question to answer. It's a hard question because I don't know the circumstances. But you can't live with hate in your heart. You can't. And I know all about divorced families, and I know all about husbands and wives that don't get along. It's a cross. You have to ask our dear Lord to give you the courage and the strength to endure. And God did not create him to be mean. God doesn't create evil. God doesn't create us to be evil. Our will makes us evil because we do not use it rightfully. Our free will, does it get in the way if you put it in the way? Hey, we blame God for things that we do. If you commit a terrible mortal sin, you can't say, well, God, you gave me free will. What does that mean? He gave you free will to say no. 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 You can't be blaming God for your will. It's undisciplined will. You can't do that. And so whatever has caused your frustration and hatred for each other, maybe if you started to love, then maybe he would start to love again. See? If I were you, since I really can't have time to answer that question. And there's another request. This woman saw her boyfriend kill himself, but that's terrible. Ask our dear Lord to erase that for your memory and pray for him and pray for yourself. Prayer, prayer, prayer will redirect your will in the right direction. See, you got to pray. With our endurance must come volumes and hours of prayer. And I know some of you work, most of you work, but it isn't prayer by the hour, it's prayer by the heart, by the heart. And if you've had that terrible tragedy, then pray, pray for them. I want to say a prayer for everybody. We just have a few minutes. Lord God, I just ask that you're in your infinite mercy, Lord, that seems to be so strong today for everyone. Bestow upon all of us the gift of mercy and compassion, the gift of humility of heart, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love, to direct our will always towards thee. Amen. God bless you and have a good week. We'll see you tomorrow.